And now, ladies and gentlemen, one of our continent's eminent voiceover artists, Chilulemba, the voiceover plug.
You know, when many of your peers start calling you Uncle Chilu, then you know that you're kind of getting on in age. And I find it amusing, but I'm also not lost to the fact that I'm in the middle of something. So on one end of the spectrum, you have those who have gone before me in the field of voiceover, legendary names, veterans, some who are still around and some who've passed on. And then you've also got an upcoming crop of very talented individuals. And today I'm going to give you a taste of both. One of them is a name that's familiar to the podcast, because if you listen to the episode with Linda Mangani, I mentioned a legend called Michael Mayer, who got me starstruck once when I met him in person because his legend preceded him. And so I'll play a clip from his demo. He says passed on, so may his soul rest in peace, but his voice lives on. So I'll play that so you can kind of get a feel as to how Michael Mayer sounded when he was on the planet. Then after that, I'll have a chat with somebody who's been in the industry for under 10 years but has a bright future ahead of him, and I'm enjoying the content that he's putting out on TikTok and platforms of that sort. So let's kick things off by listening to a demo reel. This is the voice of Michael Mayer.
Once doomed to extinction, the white rhino survives. The newly evolved Toyota Camry can promise at least one thing. A Channel 2 special report. Dangers Underground, tomorrow at 6 and 11 on Channel 2 News.
When you're feeling mellow, it's nice to play Orchestra Mundo by Tananas.
Nobody picks a fight like HBO.
How do you like it?
New Shell Helix, with its unique star polymer molecule.
I bought my white-haired grandmother a CD for her birthday, but she never played it. Want to know why? My granny don't have a CD player.
Tired of playing your old Cranberries album?
Then you need No Need to Argue, their brand new album.
I'd really like to thank all those who made this possible. Bruce Springsteen, Michael Bolton, and Barbara Streisand for all appearing on one CD. Musica.
The unmistakable voice, ladies and gentlemen, of Michael Mayer. And now let's chat to somebody who's young, but his impact is being felt in the industry, and he came over to the podhouse to record this episode. I love his vibe. And so, ladies and gentlemen, on the voiceover plug, Sinimivuyo Mpulu.
The voiceover plug with Chilulemba.
Sinimivuyo Mpulu. It's like a dope name. Does it? What does your name mean?
It means...
So rhythmic.
Yeah, right. It's the Xhosa. Yeah. So it means we have happiness.
It means happiness.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're all about, spreading joy.
Thanks.
One of the reasons, man, I wanted to have you on the podcast, obviously you've been doing some amazing work in the voiceover field past few years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we salute all that you're doing, and, you know, the future looks bright. And so I wanted to kind of just get from your journey so that, you know, other guys who listen to the voiceover plug can kind of parallel learn from what your journey has been, what my journey has been. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I'm coming from with this.
Yeah.
And I think in a way there's a similarity which I've spotted because your background is drama.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, I mean, you know, I was acting when I was in primary school more than anything. And then later on, you know, I've kind of not... been acting as much.
Yeah,
do you find that's kind of helped you in terms of your career up until this point?
Yes, absolutely. I think drama is where it all started. I was able to figure out so much of myself and so much that I could do using my voice, using the acting world as part of what I do. So I think really drama was where my confidence was built much. I was able to tap deep into the world of the arts and what it really means for the people who receive it. And so that really grew my passion more. I was just the kid who would be watching movies, who would be watching plays.
Yeah.
Involved in a lot of stage plays at school as well. So that for me was how everything began.
So like last episode of the podcast, I was discussing this with Linda, where he was telling me of an experience where he had a very experienced voiceover artist. And because of the authenticity that he wanted to come out during the performance, he was telling him that maybe memorize a line here, memorize a line there, then we'll record it so that you kind of get the fabric and the sense of what's going on with the line. And I'm wondering, do you find that because of the background of drama and acting and having to memorize lines and doing things of that sort,
Do you find sometimes that helps you get in the pocket? Because some, it's, you know, a lot of people think you're just reading, but when it becomes more than just reading, does that kind of help? Like you getting in the zone and understanding what's going on? Or?
Yes, absolutely. I think imagination is a big part of it. Eh?
Yeah.
You know, if you can't take your mind to that place, you know, guided obviously by the scripts, the message behind the script and the wording, if you can't allow yourself to do that, then it becomes very hard for you to portray that emotional transition with your voice. So it's very important to be part of the moment, to be part of the story, because when you do that, you then allow yourself to bring out that exceptional performance, which is something that you can't go without in the arts, you know. So, yeah, I definitely think just being in the moment and diving deep into the story really allows you to be part of everything, moving forward especially.
So how did you get into voiceover? And then maybe also while you're sharing that story, what kind of voiceovers do you enjoy performing more? Could it be radio ads? Could it be long form narration? Where do you find that you kind of revel in it the most?
So for me, my journey began in 2016.
Okay.
I come from a small town called Gqeberha, formerly known as Port Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And
you guys just made it so difficult for the rest of the world.
I know, right?
We're like, P.E., Port Elizabeth. No, we've changed our name, huh?
Right. It made it so hard for everyone.
Exactly, exactly. What's this Q? How do we treat it?
I still struggle to actually just, you know, say, okay.
Just say it one more time. Say,
Gqeberha.
You see, I'd say Gqeberha, but I have to think, you know what I mean? You have to really think. And when I'm doing a narration and the name of the city pops up, you know, I do a few takes and then, you know.
They cut it off.
I finesse it.
Yeah. I think it's definitely become very hard for everyone. It's been a big transition. But I think transitioning is a big part of life
for
all of us. You know, change is an important part of life.
Yeah.
And so how my journey began was that it began in 2016 through doing drama and all of that. And I was now part of a group of people who would volunteer at the Nelson Mandela University campus radio.
Yeah. Yes. What's it called? Madiba's radio. Yes.
So I started off there when the presenters would go home because they were students. When they would go home, I'd come into the studio, host a few shows. And so through that, I really, really liked being in the radio space. And so I realized that there was much more in the within the radio space that I could do with my voice.
Yeah.
And so having that dramatic arts background really pushed me more to be in the voice world. And so what had happened is that I still remember it was in, I think, at the studio, right?
Yeah.
I then recorded my first promo.
This is at the radio station.
This was at the radio station. But obviously then I was still, you know, I'm trying to find out what it is about voiceovers that I can do. I was still trying to figure out how the voiceover world works. And so, yeah, I did it. And I found that, okay, every time I did it, every time I switched on that that mic in studio, I felt this deep sense of belonging.
Nice.
And so I decided to just go on further. And, you know, just like in any other real life situation where you want to find out about something, you then go onto the internet, you do your research, and you watch the YouTube videos, you do everything.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's how it all began. And I just fell in love with the journey of learning and knowing more about the VO field. And here I am today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you move to, because now as we're speaking right now, we're having a chat in Joburg at the Pod House. But did you move because of voiceover, or did you move because after you were done at Nelson Mandela University, you had other things that brought you to Joburg?
So my life had already been in Johannesburg while I was still in PE.
Okay.
I say that because I was very much interested in the media field, the entertainment field at large, you know.
Yes.
I was the boy who'd rush home to be watching reality TVs, reading newspapers, would be watching documentaries. So I was really interested in the entertainment field and what and everything that happened within it.
Yeah.
So for me, my life had always been in Joburg because the city of gold is where everything happens.
Yes.
Especially in entertainment, the industry as well. So I then moved to Joburg in 2017.
Okay.
Started off with school. And then
you were at UJ?
No. So I initially went to Damalin
to study journalism. Yeah. Okay.
But then because of finances, I couldn't finish.
Yeah.
And then luckily, I got an opportunity to go to UJ on a bursary. And then from that, things really changed.
Wow.
So I wasn't really doing what I wanted to do because at Damalin, I was doing journalism. So at UJ, I then was doing a BA in Humanities, Bachelor of Arts in Humanities, which was something totally different from journalism. And I was so heartbroken that I couldn't fulfill my journalism dream, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so things happened in such a funny way that the course that I did for 4 years at UJ redirected me to be more in the field of journalism, you know.
It redirected
me to do things outside of journalism that brought me back to that dream. So it was really interesting to see how things turned out. But it was a nice way of tapping into the industry.
So similarly, in my situation, I wanted to be a diplomat.
Yeah.
so that's what I was gearing up to do. Like, I'm going to be a diplomat, travel the world, you know, be posted in different countries, do that thing.
Yeah.
And I never completed high school, you know, long story, but it's in my book. Mm. And then the way things work out is you'll always kind of have doors open to where you need to be.
Mm.
So even if it seems like the door that's closing at that time doesn't feel good because you kind of feel like, oh, man.
Yes.
But the reality is that things unfold the way they're supposed to in the long run. Mm. We skipped a question, man. I was checking with you regarding which type of voiceovers you enjoy the most.
I think for me now, I'm really liking radio promos. I haven't really done much TV commercial work. I've been in the radio space quite a lot, so anything radio promo for me is where it's at.
Okay.
And narration especially as well.
And do you do those long, you know, 6-page type script so at all at the moment?
So recently I've been doing quite a lot of courses, modules
So like e-learning type stuff.
E-learning type of things. And so I've received so many pages, you know. And it was shocking to me because It's actually what happens. You get that 12-page script and you have to go through it all and you can't miss out any details.
So it's really,
really been interesting to see how that thing works, how that entire experience works, especially from home.
Yeah.
I've been doing much of the recordings from home. So, yeah.
And so that will lead me to asking about studio setup because especially after lockdown, a lot of people were recording from home. So now looking at your timeline, 2016, you get into the game, 2017, you're still studying and you're still dabbling in the game. And then, you know, fast forward to 20, whatever, you know, not too long after we're in lockdown and people are starting to do home studios, which contrasted to my journey, which started like 96. There were like decades before one had to really think about having a home studio and getting that expertise. So you guys have had to fast track, which is, you know, amazing to me. So at the moment, what are you kind of working with to supply audio to guys that you work with?
So right now I'm using a simple home studio setup, I believe. I believe that I'm still trying to figure out how that works fully. So I'm using a Behringer C1 with that home studio bundle.
Yeah.
And I use Adobe Audition and Audacity.
Yeah.
So it's a mixture of using whatever works for the client. And that's how it goes.
Do you put processing on it or do you just send raw audio?
So it depends what the client wants. Sometimes they require it to be processed, but sometimes it's raw audio.
And
it goes like that. Whatever the client wants, you just go with it.
And how in terms of the way that you're working at the moment, are you self-represented or you work with an agency?
So I am under management by WMG.
Okay.
Phenomenal guys.
Yeah.
For about, I think, close to half a year now.
Okay.
So yeah, I am under WMG.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, no, then that's so. So a lot of the questions that I get from people, they want to find out whether you can succeed being self-represented or whether you need somebody on your side to kind of and. You know, different strokes for different folks, but I still believe that if you can, the best way to make inroads into the industry is having an agent, having management, having somebody who will look out for you, who will chase up people when you need to get paid, who will hunt opportunities, who will, you know, deduct the what the tax man needs in certain instances, you know, because that can get you into trouble and so on, especially in the field that we find ourselves in, because it's almost like a good cop, bad cop act. And if you are, you know, Sinemi Vuyo, who brings joy, you know, that's your, even in terms of voiceover, you're meant to be that guy who brings the sunshine. That's and good. You shouldn't be the same guy who then says, hey, when are you guys paying me? You know what I mean? Because there's a disconnect. So other guys should play that bad cop role for as long as possible. You know what I mean? So that when so that when people see you, all they're seeing is, you know, here comes the guy to rescue us with our voiceover needs and stuff like that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. All right. So my next segueing to a different kind of there are a lot of people who, when they enter the voiceover field, don't have mentorship and they kind of feel their way through stuff. I mean, an example, which isn't voiceover related. I was talking to my daughter. So I've got two daughters. One is 16. And she was telling me about a race she had at school. I'm wondering if I should tell this story or whether she's going to listen to the podcast. But Dad, you outed me.
Yeah.
No, so she was doing this long distance race. I think it was like a 1,500 meter race. And because of the fact that she hadn't, and she'd been training, you know, but she hadn't thought of a strategy. She started off with a sprint, you know what I mean? And she thinks, oh, I'm doing well. Then obviously, you know, as we all know, she gets exhausted and guys start catching up and stuff. And so I was explaining to her, like, if you can, what you need to do is chat to different people who've, you know, like, you know, you've got like coaches online or whatever, because they've gone through that journey. And so you can do your own formula and create it, or you can just kind of think, what have the other guys done? And then you kind of learn and get the lessons from there, take what you need. And then the stuff that you don't need, which they've done wrong, toss that aside, you know? And so now bringing that all back into our conversation here, I'm sure there's like a lot of people who you maybe have been watching from a distance to try and figure out how their journey's been so that you can take the best practices and incorporate it into yours. Is that kind of, you know, something that's been happening in your world as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I've learned from quite a lot of people. What I've seen is that in South Africa, however, we learn from, as artists, up and coming artists, we learn from people outside of South Africa.
Yeah, and that's true.
Because the industries then in those countries are respected more, they are valued more, the artists are valued as well. And what I found with the SA industry is that there is a gap, there is a market for teaching, everything voiceovers, the strategies, the methods, the technicalities of it.
Right? Yeah.
There is a market for that. So what I found as well is that I've been learning from quite a lot of South African guys.
Yeah.
I learned from everyone in the voiceover industry, because then the performance is what matters most, and it's what gets you the jobs, right? So for me, I have really, I wouldn't say I've learned the theoretical side of it,
but more the practical,
The practical hustle, side of it is what I've learned from guys abroad. But in SA, what I've learned is to contextualize the voiceover field according to the South African voiceover industry, its pace, where it's at, and its history as well. So those are the most important things.
But then you've also done the inverse, where you're also coaching. So you also as you get the knowledge, you're also sharing it. And how are you enjoying that?
So I've started those things off about a month ago, and it's been good. It's been good. You know, I think people really love to listen to stories that they can relate to. One thing that I've seen as well is that people really love to hear about other people's experiences and to see how they can initiate that in their own strategies to attain the success they need in their lives. So for me, it's been really a great experience. My one thing that I hope to achieve at the end of it is to leave people with an experience that they can use throughout their careers. You know? It's really saddening to be paying $500 or whatever it is to be coached for 1 hour. Hmm. And then after that,
you're on your own.
You're on your own, you know. There's nothing there to guide you throughout the times and everything. So looking at the times that we are in now, there are great strategies and methods that I've implemented in my coaching that help people have a long-lasting effect on the teaching they receive. Yeah.
I want to segue to social media. So here's the funny thing. I mean, I've got 10,000 people on TikTok who follow my stuff. You got 200,000+ people. So that's the one aspect. And then I get people who say to me hey, but you know, this social media thing must be bringing your clients. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. You know, for me, it's for fun and exposure. Yeah. But is it the same with you, or are you getting direct work through the social media stuff? And also, just tell me a bit more about, I'm fascinated by it.
Social media.
Yeah, I mean, for anyone who's listening right now, Sine, and there's a lady that you collaborated with on this most recent challenge, Domi from Radio 2000.
Yes.
And I, you know, just for fun, I did that thing. I took up the challenge for fun.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, man. We're on day 5 and randomly I looked at the, I shouldn't say randomly, I've been tracking the numbers.
It's the usual thing to do, yeah.
And that thing is on 180,000+ views. I'm like, this is crazy. Because if you look at, you know, 2 posts back, I'm like 200 views.
Yeah.
6,000 views most.
Yeah.
But, you know, so yeah, you're doing something right. But yeah, tell me about what it's doing for you in terms of exposure, in terms of your hustle and voice, and also maybe how you got into it. Might be a fun story.
So funny story for me, I grew up as the boy who would really isolate himself from society.
Really?
As it was. Yes.
Like an introvert loner type.
Yeah. Mother. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Because my thing was, I come from a very religious family.
Okay.
And so the rulings, the norms and the values are very
conservative.
Yeah, you know. And so that didn't really allow me to be part of the world as it is and to learn from the world as it is, you know. And so what had happened is that when I moved to Joburg, I'm grateful that I went to UJ because then they really enabled me to develop this critical thinking skills, you know, that I am able to use now in my daily life, you know. And so what I had done for myself was to move away from that religious thinking, you know. And so once I broke free from that, I was able to live my life the way it is now, you know. I was able to be free and to express myself and to ask those questions. And through asking those questions is how I gain my power, you know, especially on social media. Because then as well on social media, people love hearing your thoughts, the way you think.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about the voiceover field? You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'd love to watch a video by you telling us what you've experienced in the VO field and all of that.
The thing is, I think I do that well when it's long form like this.
Okay.
You do these very short curated things where you're still able to make it entertaining while you put stuff on your face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's you know, depending on the platform, I think I find more comfort in, you know, this kind of thing. Because I suppose it's also a crutch because I started out in radio. So, but these new platforms, I think, are very well suited, and how you make it work is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did you you've philosophically told us the background, but now practically, did you just start an account and figure out what you were going to do? Mm-hmm. Or did that over time evolve into you starting to figure out what people liked and what you were going to be offering?
Yeah. So I think the greatest thing about social media is how it allows you to share with the right people for you, share to connect with the right people for you, your people, right?
Yeah.
And so that is how I've gotten most of my jobs on social media, through the right people, right? You do that video, you record, and you send it out there, you post it, and then the right people will see it and the right people will reach out to you. So for me—
So you're actually getting hires off the social media stuff.
Yeah.
That's the first time. So excuse me looking this shocked. This is the first time I've heard that.
Yeah.
From TikTok.
So, yeah. So
man, salute.
Thank you. So the gig that I currently have right now as the station voice of True FM.
Yes.
I got that through social media.
Wow.
So the one thing that I really implemented in my social media strategy was to be out there, to be in people's faces.
Yes.
24/7, 365.
Yeah.
Right. There's this 3-hour strategy that I really like. Mm. Posting every hour for the next 3 hours.
Really?
Yeah. So one video every hour. What that does is that it allows you to be introduced to a different audience each hour. Because no one is on their phone for 3 hours straight.
Yeah.
But every hour, there is someone that picks up their phone and checks TikTok, that checks Instagram.
So you're telling me you got videos on standby on your device right now about you're about to shoot out?
Yeah. So it depends as well how busy I am and all of that. So I try to accommodate my busyness and all of my free time.
It's this
shocking strategy.
You're just feeding the algorithm. You're just like, you know, algorithm is hungry. Like Sin is like, I'm going to feed this algorithm.
Yes. And the nice thing is that right now you can open your TikTok.
Yeah.
You go into your settings. Hmm. You find the right times to post for you.
Oh, so it's figured out and it's giving you that intel.
Yes.
Sure.
So what happened with your video that you do it?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
So that video.
Yeah.
I think it's doing well because you posted it at the right time for your audience on your account. So that's why the numbers are even like that. But obviously, of course, the performance was good. So
No, man. It's not about the performance. It's about the time you posted. No, teasing.
Yeah.
No, but it makes sense. It's a combination of things. It's an interesting science. And for you, I suppose because you're so deep into it, to start cracking these little... to start opening up the knowledge based on patterns and rhythms is like a fascinating thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think for us, you know, as young people, there's a lot of catching up that we need to do. Mm. We are working against guys like you who've been in the industry for quite a long time, who've upheld the standard of the industry.
Nah, but you know, earlier today I was having a conversation. I was at a studio in Sunning Hill.
Yeah.
It's called Magic Monkey. And there's a lady there named Alex Pickard. She's a sound engineer. We get along so well. Mm-hmm. And Kelly, who is managing the projects that we're doing today.
Yeah.
And so after chatting, you know, we finished the job like maybe in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then we spend the rest of the 40 minutes just chopping it up. And I was telling her like, no, there's some new guys who you people haven't heard. Mm. But they are brilliant in terms of their vocal range, in terms of what they deliver.
Mm.
And you're going to hear about them more soon, but they're also savvy when it comes to social media. So I opened my TikTok, I played your stuff, and I could see the expressions on these guys. They're like, wow, you know, because I'm using, you know, playing it off the phone. Granted, it's an iPhone 12 Pro Max, what?
But
I mean, the voice just booming off this device. Mm. And then I also played Temba, because Temba is also one of the guys who's recently gone in, but gaining a lot of traction. Temba Robin, he was also a guest on this thing. So I'm fascinated about what you guys are doing. And I'm also, I mean, cards on the table. I'm excited about what the future is looking like because, you know, some of us soon are going to start, you know, venturing into other things that we've got going. You know, I won't reveal too much, but we might, you know, moonwalk out of the industry. And it's good to know that they're guys who are coming up, but they're putting in their all and they'll be able to deliver even probably at a higher level than what some of us have been doing. So, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful moonwalk for you guys because the industry, what you guys have done with it is you've left this unmatched level that no one can really match. You know, someone like myself, it takes work. I believe it takes work. It takes years of work. It takes experience. It takes quite a lot of wisdom as well. And a lot more.
Well, I suppose and the thing with this stuff, you are right. It's like it's a hustle and it's a grind. But at the end of the day, what I think is when people start to come into this thing with the right attitude, you know, okay. where you realize that this pie is so huge. There's so many opportunities where it's not all about if I don't get this opportunity, no one will. Yeah. So for instance, as soon as, you know, I mentioned it to you, as soon as we wrap the recording, I'm starting to wind down because I'm going away for 10 days. And during those 10 days, I'm getting phone calls like, we need somebody to do ABCD.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this sounds like a job for X, you know, so try that agent or try that agent. But I'm not like, I'm away for 10 days, hold this job, you know. Yeah. I'll be back, you know. No, man, I think it's just the attitude. And it's when you start being secure in yourself, you know, secure in you've met, like, you know, obviously it's important to meet our responsibilities. So, you know, you got to pay rent, you got to pay school fees, you got to do this and that, you got to pay the tax man and mortgages and all this stuff. But outside of that, if you're just kind of secure in yourself and you realize that, you know, opportunity comes, opportunity goes, I've been the voice of many channels. And those opportunities, you know, they peak at some point and you're like, yeah, it's a good payday. But then it will dry out because at some point there'll be a new brand manager with a new strategy. Yeah, he'll want something new, you know. So, you'll find that, you know, during your journey, there'll be those things that'll come. It'll be yours for a bit. But then at some point, it won't be yours, you know. Yes, and you should just be comfortable, not like, this guy who's the new SARS voice, I don't like, you know. Yeah. No, man. this lady who's come in and doing this thing. No, man, it's just like a pie that's big enough for all of us.
I think as well what I've realized is that the industry is very seasonal.
Yes.
So in winter, for example, we'll hear more male voices because they give us this warm and cozy feeling.
Oh, for real? I'm not...
So in spring, there will be more female voices because of this flamboyancy. And
femininity. You're talking radio and TV, I suppose.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. Because the other thing that I've seen is that, as you said, each voice has its own, you know, time to get those bookings, and there's a time where it's dry.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When it's dry, think of the people who are booking those voices and why it's not you.
Yeah,
maybe your voice for that season is not, you know, not suitable, but then for the next season.
That's interesting. I was thinking of, you know, seasons in terms of spiritual and time and chance and, you know, that verse in the Bible. You're thinking of them literally. That's deep, man. That's deep. You did a BA in linguistics, I believe.
Yes.
That's fancy.
It gets quite confusing for a lot of people because you're just like, what is a BA in linguistics?
You know? What is a BA in linguistics?
So a BA in linguistics is a degree in language.
Yeah.
So it basically works through or operates through four modules in 4 years. And then I majored in linguistics, right? So then in my fourth year, I was only focusing on linguistics and not the other modules. And so now I am specializing in the linguistics field, applied linguistics. So right now I'm busy with my honors in applied linguistics. And that alone allows me to be part of the voiceover field at large, because I can go into writing, journalism, teaching, and so many other things. So I think it's good to learn from, you know, the nitty-gritty details that make up the voiceover field. So
that's impressive. And you're doing your honors part-time?
It's full-time.
Really? So now everything else in your life is part-time and the studying. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so... Funny enough, as soon as I leave here, I have to be in front of my laptop. I have
a live
project that I'm submitting. So,
all right, let's wrap it up. Man, gotta get to do his research. No, man, but I've enjoyed the chat.
Thank you.
If there's any advice that you have for guys on the come up, I mean, I know the reason why I started this podcast initially. Was because I get a lot of questions about how to get in, what to do, etc. And I couldn't, I was just finding it, you know, difficult to respond to each individual query. Mm. So the podcast was meant to be like a frequently asked questions. You know, like somebody calls and says, how do I do this? I'm like, listen to episode one. How do I do a home studio? Listen to episode three, you know. So that was my plan, although now it's become something else. Now it's just, you know, we're doing this, having conversations.
Yes.
But if there's somebody who is coming up based on what you've experienced in your journey, what kind of advice would you have for people coming in, especially guys who do genuinely have the ability to make it in the industry? Because you've got guys who want to, but the reality is that they can't, you know. But
I'd honestly say it all starts with falling in love with your journey in the beginning stages. I think that's where a lot of artists lose themselves, by not falling in love with their journeys when they start off, and they focus too much on looking at what Mr. Chilulemba has done in the voiceover industry and wanting to be like him.
Mm.
But that's his story.
Yeah.
Him being part of radio years ago and him doing a voiceover for this brand and that brand. It's his story.
Yeah.
So your story too has so much value within the history books. And I believe that you just need to fall in love with your journey. Mm. It sounds so cliche when people say, no, just focus on you, do it for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
But the reality is, it is true. You really, really need to fall in love with your journey, because that is where your story lies. And your story is a big part of the world. And there's someone out there that needs to hear your story. So yeah, just fall in love.
Fantastic. What's your dream gig?
My
your dream gig, like really, before, you know, I wrap it up, I really want to do this thing.
I really would love, I'm not sure if they're listening right now,
yeah,
but anything for Nat Geo Wild.
That, oh really?
Yeah, that is my one gig that I still
Nat Geo Wild, yeah,
that I believe really kill.
I did a thing for National Geographic Bride. It was like 4 hours of recording one episode.
Really?
And it never aired. So for me, it's not happening, but I can see it happening for you, especially if you put it out there in the ether. That wasn't my dream gig, and I know there's some kind of fields of voiceover which are not too suited for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I realize that that's the thing. So, like, you know, I do very good corporate narration.
Yes, yes.
But then I find those what do you call them? You know those journalistic typey thingies, where there's a rhythm. I'm it's not like something that I really think I'd flourish in, because there's a certain rhythm and melody and
I think there'd be space for you, because listening to your voice, you do quite a lot of adverts, and
you know
just the difference between each advert, that is great. You know, and you do that only with your voice, so,
No, it's fun. Once a channel that's, because Nat Geo Wild is your dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
But once later in life, if there's a channel that's doing like crime thingies, where they just say, okay, just be you. You know what I mean? Yeah. We don't want you to sound like any of our guys, but just bring your flavor. I'm like, let's do this. The like crime. That guy on TikTok who does the iPhone reviews.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Sine, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. And if people want to reach out to you and catch you on the socials, how do they get to you?
So I am on Instagram at SinemiVuyoM. I am on TikTok at Sine the Voice Artist and Twitter at SinemiVuyoM. As well on YouTube, I have a show called Homeground Hustlers. So please be part of our family by clicking that subscribe button.
And it's a wrap.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was the voiceover plug with Chilulemba. Catch Chilu on social media using the handle at Chilulemba. And if you haven't checked out his memoir, Finding My Voice, get it as an audiobook on Audible and ebook or paperback on Amazon.